Well, we're excited about our kids at Camp Fusion this weekend at Camp Albrioka near Pocahontas. Yeah. Lots of good things happening there. Excited for that, and good things happening here this morning. I loved your comment, Lynn, just faith comes by hearing the word. I invite you to turn to your Bibles, devices, to Exodus chapter 20 for one final sermon for now. On the Ten Commandments. This morning my prayer time listening to, a part of that was listening to Michael W. Smith's song, Ancient Words, Ever True, Changing Me and Changing You. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart. I love that song and those words, and that's my prayer for you and for us this morning in the message. So before I get into that, last Sunday I was at our annual conference, which some others from here were there. And just in case for you new here and not sure what's going on, Oakdale, we are independent, autonomous congregation, but we are connected with a larger network of churches that give us, me and the elders, an incredible amount of support, accountability, structure, framework that we can do church with excellence, hopefully. So it's a very important part of Oakdale's life, particularly for me and the other pastors and elders here. So just kind of a side note there, that's what's going on. And then also, several weeks ago, I went down to visit my dad, who lives in Delaware, Dover, and went over with our family to the Eastern Shore, which isn't very far. Delaware's like 20 miles wide, where Dover is, and go over the Eastern Shore. I went over to the Chesapeake and did some kayaking there, had a lot of fun with the kids, and was struck again going through the Eastern Shore of Kent County, Maryland. The rolling farmland, beautiful farms, and every now and then this big mansion, a farmhouse, and old and majestic. And then go around the curve, and there's this little settlement of quite low-income housing, poverty. And just struck again with the contrast that comes from the history of the sad part of the American history of the slavery and the Civil War. And after the slaves were set free, there was sharecropping, and the sharecroppers settled in these little villages around the farms, and they're still there amazingly to this day. And it's a whole other subject of the cycle of poverty and mindset that still plagues many of those people. And yeah, it's a sad, I always feel a bit sad when I drive through Kent County, Maryland, and I see that dynamic. I'm mentioning that here this morning simply because in this sermon, in this Ten Commandments series that we've been going through with the theme Set Free, you can put that first slide up, Set Free to Live Free, is that as the children of Israel, in the Old Testament, Exodus' story of they lived in Egypt and they were under incredible bondage and slavery and oppression, and God just miraculously set them free. Story of Moses brought them out of the land of slavery. But so they were free, but they still had this slave mentality. And so the Old Testament law and the Ten Commandments, one way of looking at it, is that God was saying, I don't want you to have this slave mentality. I want you to live free. And so here's some of my word, my promises, my law that will help you to live in freedom. So I hope as we went through this Ten Commandments that you will never again, if you have before, viewed or thought of the Ten Commandments of a list of do's or don'ts. Well, rules that God says, you're having fun, stop it. But instead, it's this incredible letter of love from a heavenly Father that loves you so much and wants you to live in freedom and to be blessed in this life. And he's saying, yeah, let me help you. Let me show you a few things. So That's the spirit of the Ten Commandments. If you miss these, actually you don't even need a Netflix subscription. You can go on their website and you can binge watch the whole 10 sermons here at one time. Be a great experience. If you do that, actually, let me know. So today is the last one. You've heard this command, thou shalt not covet. Well, covet simply means strong desire. So obviously having strong desires in itself isn't sinful. So you have to add to that commandment. So I put both verse the text in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 where the list of the Ten Commandments are there. You shall not covet your neighbor. You shall not have, let me just paraphrase, you shall not have strong desires for things that aren't rightfully yours. Think about that. Things that aren't rightfully yours, don't have strong desires for them. Do not covet. For example, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your servants, his ox or donkey, which would be like his, in today's world, like your tractor, the way you provide for your income, or your vehicle. Whether it's a Ford or a cream-colored Lexus, whatever, don't set your desires on things that don't belong to you or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Then, and Deuteronomy specifically has that phrase there, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, you shall not set your desire, set your heart, your passion on things that don't belong to you, that aren't rightfully yours. For example, your neighbor's house, land, servants. There. So that's the gist of this last command, thou shalt not covet. So again, desire, having strong desires for something that you don't have isn't necessarily a sin. But if it's something that doesn't rightfully belong to you and you set your heart on that, it can lead you to bondage and to slavery. And God is saying, I love you so much. I don't want you to live that way. So the story that I thought of with coveting is the story that I remember hearing as a kid growing up in the Old Testament about King Ahab, king of Israel, king of Samaria. And he had it all. You know, he was king. And he had a mansion, a palace there. But he looked out his window one day and he saw his poor neighbor man next door, and he had a pretty nice vineyard. And he wanted that vineyard. He had a strong desire for something that was his neighbor's. And he sulked about this, and his wife said, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And he said, well, I look out here, I see this beautiful vineyard, and I want that. And his wife said, well, you're king. You can have it. So she came up with a plan, and she had some couple men accuse Naboth of blaspheming God and talking against the king. And they had a trial, and they took him out and stoned him for his sin, which he hadn't committed. Innocent man. And then Naboth went and, or King Ahab went and bought Naboth vineyards, and he rightfully owned it. And of course, God rebuked him for that, and he faced a lot of judgment because of that sin. But it's intriguing, as I remember this story, how the Bible says that when King Ahab couldn't have what he wanted, he went late in his bed and he sulked and he wouldn't eat. And I thought, wow, as a kid, I'm like, I feel like doing that when I can't have my way or my toy, but here's a king. And the point is that that's human nature in us. We want what we want. And if we can't get it, then we can sulk and get angry. And often as adults, we don't literally go to bed and sulk, but we go around our day sulking, and often we're angry at God. Because we think, well, he promised us good things, and it's not happening, and so somehow it must be God's fault, and we get resentful at God for that. And it all goes back to this thing of coveting. And the New Testament talks about greed. A lot of verses about greed in the New Testament, which is the New Testament version of this Tenth Command. So here's an example, Colossians 3, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. So the thing of evil desires and greed. So I'm inviting you this morning in this sermon, not as much to look at a academic or in your head about what this text means or what greed is and evil desires, but I'm inviting you to look into your heart, and here's the question. Let me back up just a second. If you are saying, you know, I do really have these desires for something that isn't mine. I wish I had a better education. If only I had more money. If my house was just a bit nicer. If I could afford this. Or if my children would just behave better. If my spouse was a better spouse. And you name it. On and on. Then I would be happy. Now, my premise this morning is that as I continually struggle with those thoughts, I can identify with Naboth at times, or not Naboth, but King Ahab at times. Oh, if only I had. Now, my premise is that you also have those feelings because it's human nature. We so quickly think, oh, if only I had, then I could be successful or happy or find meaning in life. So that's a temptation for everyone. So what I want you to do with that thought, I want you to identify that thought this morning. What do you when you're feeling unhappy, discontented, grumpy, what are your thoughts? If only I had. Then once you identify that, is don't say, oh, that's sin, stop it. I shouldn't have those thoughts. No, don't do that. Well, you can do that, but don't stop there and think, what is going on deep inside my heart? What is the desire that I'm really wanting? Okay? So my premise is that if you're coveting, for example, a house or a better house or a car, then the issue isn't the car that you're coveting, a nicer car, but it's there's some deep desire down deep that you're longing for something other than a car, and you're not sure that God can satisfy that desire. So the question is, can I trust God to satisfy my deepest desires? So that's been my prayer this week. God would speak to my heart about that, and it would speak to your heart about this question, do I really believe that God can satisfy my deepest desires? So I submit to you that as I understand that in a deeper and deeper way, then coveting isn't an issue. Greed isn't an issue. The love of money isn't an issue. Selfish desires, those are all kind of surface issues. The deeper issue is, do you really trust, believe that God can satisfy your deepest desires, the longings in your heart? So I came across, I was reminded of this old hymn that we don't sing here. And I talked to Tom about it, and we decided, no, we don't know it, we won't use it this morning. But the first words of the hymn, first line is, Holy God, faithful and true, all of my longings come home to you. Let me repeat that again. All of my longings come home to you. So with that, the song goes on to unpack that. But what it's saying is that all of our cravings, longings, desires, when we're feeling grumpy, when we're feeling discontented, Jesus satisfies those desires. And in fact, only Jesus can fully satisfy those desires. So that's why I went to Psalms 37 for the reading of the Word. And because I've struggled all my life with feelings of discontentment, and if only this was different or this was better in my life. Now there's a certain healthiness to that, of course. We're striving for excellence, and that's a positive side. But the negative side of that, and I struggle with that at times, is never being fully happy and satisfied. And sometimes my good wife, in her loving, kind ways, will look at me and say, you're just never happy with. You got to be satisfied. And I'm like, dang, she's right, yeah. But again, that can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing. So I memorized these verses years ago, which I can't say them today, these verses in Psalms 37. But I knew, I sensed that discontent in my heart. And I've latched on this, one of my life verses is that, Joe, as you delight yourself in the Lord, then He will, through Jesus Christ, Jesus satisfies my deepest longings. And in fact, only Jesus is going to satisfy my deepest longings. And I could tell you story after story of things in my life that I thought, if I could reach this point, if I could have this, life would be so good. And I received that, and a day or two later, those longings surfaced again. And that's why I love that song, Holy God, Faithful and True, all of my longings come home to You. So it is God that this heart is longing for. Only God. And that satisfies. So that's the heart of this 10th commandment. So a slave mentality includes when the children of Israel left Egypt, their taskmasters, the lords of their life, they were cruel, they were harsh, and they were self-serving. And so the Israelites came out of that, and the Lord said, I am the Lord your God. I am your boss, your taskmaster, but I am a good God. Trust me. But it was hard for them to make that transition because they weren't used to trusting a Lord, a boss. And so they were miraculously delivered from Egypt, miracle after miracle, the plagues, Moses, and then they went through the Red Sea and the waters parted and they saw God's power and His love for them and protection, and their Pharaoh and his army were destroyed, and you would think they would be forever grateful. But in a few short days, the Bible says that they were grumbling against God and Moses because they were thirsty. They wanted the food of Egypt. And that slave mentality of, I'm not sure I can trust my Lord, my God, my boss. I'm not sure He's good for me in everything. So I may need to take things in my own hands or do things my own way. So, you know where I'm going with that. That same mentality is what you and I deal with continually all through life. We have to keep bringing our hearts back to, no, God is a good God. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And none of us are perfect, but in Christ we are sinless, faultless, declared righteous. And when we're in Christ through faith in the cross, then we're God's children. He doesn't withhold good things from us. He satisfies our desires. The Lord will indeed give what is good. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And on and on and on. These verses, God is a good God. He loves you. And He wants to satisfy your deepest longings as you turn to Him. So the question then is, okay, so I'm not going to desire these material earthly things. They never satisfy. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he had it all, had everything. He was incredibly wealthy. And his conclusion in Ecclesiastes 1:3 is meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. All these things don't satisfy. That message is so clear. So if these things don't satisfy, then what is that deep longing within my heart? And this is, obviously can't deal with that, answer that this morning here, but what struck me is that every one of us are carrying around these deep desires of our heart for things like we want to be significant. We want to, for reasons in our brokenness, we want to be in control of our life. We want to be esteemed and well thought of. Now, these aren't bad desires, but all these desires can become idols to us. They can consume us. And so, like, for example, the love of money, why do you want more money? Well, you can, some of the evilness of greed and wanting more money can be like, I just want to control things. So, if I don't have enough in savings, something may happen to me and I'll lose control. I can't control it. So we become stingy or frugal because we have to control things. We want to make sure that we have enough for retirement. Things like that. Now, a rainy day fund and retirement fund is not sinful, but it can be an act of defiance, of distrust, because of that deep desire within our heart. We have to have a new car because if I have a new car, my friends, my peers will look up to me and I will be significant. I will feel like I'm somebody. Do you get it? On and on and on. Things like that. It's hard. It's a life of searching our hearts. And what are the idols, those deep desires that we're coveting, not material things, but these attitudes that we believe, well, if we could feel significant, if we could be in control, if we could find comfort, then we will be truly happy. Kind of a deep subject there. So, how do you delight yourself in the Lord? How can you bring your heart to that on a regular, continual basis, that you don't have this slave mentality of thinking that if you had more things then you could be happy, but you continually bring your heart to it is God who satisfies, Jesus who satisfies. He satisfies our deepest longings. So I don't know what works for you, but I'm encouraging you to, if you haven't already, make this a significant part of your life, your daily routine, all through the day, of bringing your heart back to desiring God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. For me, what works is most mornings I'm up fairly early, and I turn to the Word. And one of the reasons I do that is that I know my heart can be drawn away to desire other things today, and try to find my joy and satisfaction in other things. So I bring my heart. I read the Psalms. I read Scripture every morning, most every morning. And just reminding myself and letting God's Word remind me that God is a good God. And Jesus satisfies my longings. And Christian music. And we do small groups, a Bible study, coming to church once a week. Just a continual reminder that Jesus satisfies, and that as we delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. And I'm just so excited about getting older, in the sense that, because as I'm getting older, I'm realizing this truth in a deeper and deeper way. And more, the higher percentage of my thoughts throughout my day are centered on, yes, Jesus is giving, satisfying me. And, you know, it's obvious here in this verse, it's not, you know, if you desire a new house, if you just really delight in the Lord, He's going to give you the new house. But as you focus delight in the Lord, He changes our hearts. And He makes what He desires your desire, my desire. And then He fulfills that. And so the things that I used to long for no longer important because Jesus is satisfying my desires. Get it? So I'm recommending that to you. And that's the spirit of this 10th command. Thou shalt not covet. The spirit is not, again, stop that. But it's, I got so many good things for you. I'm a good God. And if you bring your heart to me, I can satisfy those deep longings within your heart. So, in conclusion here, encourage you to find ways to continue to be more intentional about delighting in the Lord, bringing your heart to the Lord. And then also talked about this in each of these sermons in the Ten Commandments here, is that every commandment is not as much, don't do this, but it's like, I have something good for you. If you follow my ways, there's a promise, there's a blessing. So the list on the right there is not an inspired list. This is just what jumped out at me as looking back over these Ten Commandments. Now your list on the right may be different, but I encourage you to think of the Ten Commandments from now on in this way, that God has given us these His words here, these commandments. He wants us to live free, and there's a promise in these words. So, thou shalt not have other gods before me. I'm all you need. I'm a good God. It's a promise. Don't make an idol. You don't need to turn to other things. I'll satisfy you. And kind of coming back to that satisfy over and over. Maybe you'll come up with something different as you look at these. Do not misuse my name. I'm holy. Walk in my holiness and you can be blessed and satisfied with that. Remember the Sabbath day. I care about you. I want you to rest so you can be healthy and whole. Honor your parents. God sets the lonely in families, and these nurturing, meaningful relationships can give us life. And do not murder, adultery, steal. You don't need to do this. I'll take care of you. I'll satisfy you. Every command has a promise for you. So can you do that? Just in a new way. As you look at God's word, His law, He's a good God. He loves you so much. Yeah, you're unworthy. Yeah, you're sinful. Jesus carried your sins to the cross. If you have faith in Him, He's forgiven you of your sins. And He just wants you to have a blessed, free life. So Tom, I invite you to come up and we're going to just sing this song, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, and invite you to just give your heart to Jesus in a deeper way, in a new way this morning. And if you need to confess how you've been violating some of these Ten Commandments, been setting your desires on things and being grumpy and unhappy, it was a great time this morning to confess that. I invite you to stand. And Father, just pray with me, and you're quietly in your heart. Thank you that this morning we just declare that you are a good God and you satisfy our deepest longings. In fact, nothing on this earth can satisfy these longings that we have like you. So, Father, forgive us for coveting after other things to try to satisfy our deepest longings. We confess this morning that all of our longings, they come home to you. And you created us in a way that you want to satisfy those desires. So Lord, teach us how to, in a deeper way, a new way, to keep bringing our heart to You and allow You to satisfy us. Amen.